Wayne, I hope you don't need any total odor control out on the Delta, but how's it been going for you out there this week?
Well, I tell you what, Joe, it's been pretty tough the first part of the week, man. I really needed air conditioning, man. We've had some really record-setting days as far as the temperature goes. And, the good news is we got this little cool snap. Looks like it's going to move into the weekend. And, man, it's really going to help tremendously because what we've got right now on the Delta, the water temperature is in the low 80s, around 82, 83. You know, on these real hot days, it's warmed up quite a bit. But as soon as we can pick up some of these really cool nights that we've got coming, it's going to get that water temp down in the 70s. And the fish really take on a completely different personality once you get down in those 70s. It's like they know to put that fall feed bag on, and it really cranks up. But, there's been a lot of people on the water this week, and we're still catching fish, but it's been a pretty tough week from the standpoint of not catching a tremendous number of fish on moving baits like crankbaits and spinnerbaits. I think that bite's going to just really be, dependent on the water cooling off some more. We've primarily had to go to soft plastic to catch them.
I understand. Well, this time of year, are the fish moving to different part of the Delta as we get into these fall patterns?
Yeah. Really what happens down on the, in the middle Delta, which, I've had several trips this week, and we kind of stayed in the middle Delta, some of the bigger lakes where you got, a little deeper water. But really what we see down on the south end of the Delta is as we progress into the fall, as that water temperature drops into the 70s and then into the 60s, the fish on the south end, they really move tremendously. I mean, they migrate into those creeks that are adjacent to the bays. It's amazing if you lay a map of the Delta out, on the south end, you come to the realization, man, everything is just about, big bays and all the little creeks and, bayous that are attached to those bays. And that's where these fish move in the fall, and they'll stay there, the complete winter until spring when they move back into the bays and spawn.
Wayne, with these fish being on the move, what do you look for in an area, kind of to determine, hey, this is a spot I think that fish are going to be located, number one. But once you've started that area, you've identified an area that you believe fish are in, how long do you give a spot before you move on? If you're not getting bites, how many casts, so to speak?
Really, Joe, down on the south end, when I move into those creeks, I'll typically start right at the river and work my way back. And I won't spend a lot of time. I mean, if I have a stretch of bank there and, you give it 5-10 minutes and you don't get a bite, I'll move a little further into the creek. The whole time I'm doing it, though, I'm looking for bait. I'm looking for fish movement, and especially shrimp. Obviously, if you see shrimp up on top, they're usually up on top for one reason, because something's after them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always a fantastic, sign when you move in these creeks if you see those shrimp up on top. But getting back to what I was saying, I just work my way back. And I won't just hit a bank and stay on it for an hour and say, they just weren't biting in there. To save time, you want to move around in those creeks because, depending on the water clarity, and all of that changes with the tidal movement, but depending on the water clarity and the temperature, the fish will, they'll stack up in specific, stretches in those creeks.
Good stuff, Wayne. We appreciate the report this week. Hopefully we'll get some of that cooler weather that'll trigger that bite. Stay safe out there, man.
All right, Joe. Have a great one.
All right, let's head on down a little further. Talk to Mike Thompson. Mike, what's going on the causeway?
Hey, Joe. Man, I tell you what, some nice weather today, and we're going to have some cooler weather moving forward, and things are just going to get better and better.
I know it's
been going on for weeks. Redfish are go-go everywhere you go in the Delta, all the way up to Chukchi Bay. The redfish are biting in the mouth of Chukchi Bay. They're biting in Grand Bay. They're biting on most of the rivers. If you concentrate on the edges of the rivers with live or dead shrimp, you're going to run into some redfish there. The specks are scattered. There's not that many up in the Delta. There are a few, but there's really not that many. But for those that get the Great Days Outdoors magazine, we've got an article in there this month about fishing the flats in fall, and that's where it's going on right now. On the flats south of the interstate, a lot of speckled trout and small white trout are showing up.
Popping corks and shrimp imitations?
Popping cork and live shrimp if you got it, but shrimp imitations if you don't.
Is live shrimp situation pretty good at the bait shops?
They got quite a few live shrimp, but today was probably one of the busiest days over there. A lot of trailers. People are getting the itch because of the cooler weather's making them excited.
Mm-hmm.
So, and people are catching fish. They're catching them on the flats in 3 to 6 foot of water. There's several places mentioned in that article if they want to check that out. And, you'll be able to get on some fish for sure this weekend.
What about the flounder?
There are a few flounder being picked up. One of my buddies got some flounder up in the Raft River last Friday along with a half a dozen redfish. And surprisingly, he caught them on dead shrimp. He couldn't find any live shrimp late in the evening, and he didn't launch until 2 o'clock. And he said it's interesting. He was acting on a report, and every place that he was told to go, he was being eat up by gaff-top cats, hardheads, needlefish, and he said, I finally found a place where they weren't pestering me, and that's where the redfish were.
Right. Well, as we get some of these cooler temperatures you're talking about, that bite should clean up a little bit. Whenever I get what we call a dirty bite, you know, getting a lot of these, trash fish, for lack of a better word, you know, what do you like to use to target more of the game fish? Is there an artificial bait that you feel like you don't get as many of those bait stealers?
Well, I like to use a sparkle beetle. The root beer sparkle beetle is my go-to weapon when it comes to catching redfish and speckled trout.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't catch as many catfish on there, I guess because it's so ugly. You know, they love a shrimp, the beautiful slender shrimp coming by. They can't resist it. As a matter of fact, you know how when you pull your shrimp up, your cork keeps going down, but you don't get anything. And when you pull your shrimp up, all the legs are gone.
Mm-hmm.
They chew all the legs off. They eat the easiest thing first and then go for the other stuff later. I don't think they're that smart to avoid the hook. I think it's just an easier thing to pull off the shrimp.
Yeah, you had an interesting point about that specific instance. When you pull that shrimp in and you notice those legs are gone, this is something I learned, is that a lot of times that's brim actually doing that.
Oh, yeah. And I had a stepdaddy who's long gone from this earth, but he used to take a shrimp, and he would break it off and take just the head, and he would pull that body section with all the legs on it, and he would fish just with that, not with the horn. He would pull that off, and I'd say, what are you doing? He said, when you put a shrimp out, what's the first thing they eat? He said, go ahead and give it to them right away.
Right. Absolutely. I like that. Well, what about other fish? Are the puppy drums still in there pretty thick like they have been?
They're catching a few over in Turtle Ditch and North Pass. They're catching the big drum down at Theodore Canal, and they're catching those on live and dead shrimp. Also catching a lot of reds in Theodore Canal on grubs. I was talking with a kayaker the other day. He'd been doing real well on a rainbow trout-colored DOA minnow, and also caught a few white trout. And for those that don't have a boat, man, Cedar Point is wide open on big redfish, catching quite a few white trout. Another good hot report I got is anywhere around the lights now at Dauphin Island at night, you can pick up white trout. So if you got a kayak or you got a small boat and, you know, you can't go out in the, into the rough water, you can sneak around and pluck a few fish off those lights.
Those cooler temps make, like you said, they get everybody excited, makes everybody start thinking about maybe doing a fish fry or something like that. And big old batch of white trout is one of the best ways to do it.
Absolutely.
What do you like for them specifically? You know, they're such, can be such a fast bite. Is there a particular artificial bait you find works well with them?
I've done well on white trout on what they call a tuxedo-colored cockahoe minnow.
Okay.
That's the black back with the white belly. If you ever take a look at that bait when you hold it in your hand, I think it's designed to imitate a speckled trout because it's got a pink hue on it, just like a fresh speckled trout you pull out of the water. So the white trout love that thing. It's about a 2.5-inch long minnow bait, black back, white belly.
Do you rig that one kind of in that double cockahoe fashion when they're biting really fast?
Well, you know, occasionally I'll do that, Joe, but I try not to be that greedy.
Hear you, Mike. Well, thanks for the report. Good luck out there. Our next contributor, Captain Bobby Abrascato, he's just great. How you doing, Bobby?
Hey, good afternoon, Joe. Joe, how are you?
Man, I walked outside this morning and I felt that fall, little crisp fall air, and I'm excited. I'm ready to get out of the studio.
Oh, man, I'll tell you what, you better enjoy it, too, because it probably ain't going to last long the way it's been lately. You know, we get about 6 hours of fall, and then it's over with, you know.
I
know what you're saying, man. Hey, we went from the last couple days up until today fishing in shorts and T-shirts and everything to where everybody had wind shirts on and wind pants and jackets and stuff this morning. I don't think we really needed the jackets, but it was just kind of one of those kind of things you just kind of had to do. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You go like, man, we're going to wear a jacket today.
Right.
So, you know, this transition thing's still going on. It's just, it's kind of nuts, man. I mean, I say it's nuts. It's really kind of really what typically happens when we start getting, you know, this transition from the summer to the fall pattern is the fish are just moving. You know, a lot of the fish I'm catching are right at the mouths of the rivers. And like, you know, one day you'll go out, a couple days you go out and catch them out at the mouths of the rivers on the grass and the shell reefs and stuff. You know, at the mouths of the rivers, and you get just a little bit of a cool evening like we had last night, and just about everything, matter of fact, not just about everything we caught today was up in the rivers and the bayous and stuff. You know, and I know it's some of the same fish. It's the same size fish, and, you know, we're fishing them the same way. So, you know, it's just a typical transition period. You know, it's a little later, obviously, this year, it seems like, because we had such a warm September, you know, I think it's kind of pushed that back a little bit, but anyway, the tip is, right now, you know, I'd be focusing right at the mouths of all of the tidal rivers and the rivers in the delta, not so much up way up in the rivers themselves, but really kind of around the mouths. Really incredible how shallow some of the trout I'm catching are right now. We had fish today that we were catching, and there's no way I could have gotten the boat to. We were able to cast to them, you know, a foot or foot and a half of water. At that point, targeting redfish, but we caught a lot of trout today that were in extremely shallow water. And that's kind of another thing that goes on right now as the water temperature cools off.
Do you change your tackle when you're fishing in that really shallow water? Like, do you get away from the popping corks?
No, we were still using popping corks, but what I do a lot of times, if I know what's kind of get a feel what's going on, is I carry, you know, I'll have a bunch of popping corks on the boat, and I have some set really shallow, like, you know, because again, we were kind of at that point wanting to target reds a little bit, but I'll set some at 2 or 3 feet in case we're fishing on the edges of the river channels or at the mouths of the river channels where you get, you know, some, you know, 3 to 5 feet of water. But then I have some that are set probably 18 inches deep, you know, and so I'll switch over to those super shallow corks. And that's about the only big change I make. One of the keys is, though, on that subject is, we had a lot of water movement today, and we have really since the weekend. You know, if you're on a bite like that and you get a tidal, you get a little bit of a tidal drift, try not to cast right into where your fish are in that super shallow water. If you can cast a little up current from them and let the bait drift in, sometimes you kind of have to cast. Like today, it was blowing a gale. You really almost had to cast right at the fish because the wind was blowing so hard you couldn't get a drift. But if you can set yourself up to where you can cast a little up current from where you think your fish are, you'll do better, because as you're bringing up, you know, when you start landing on them in a foot of water, a foot and a half of water, they're going to spook.
Makes sense. I asked Wayne earlier in the show. He was talking about how the fish are on the move and they're transitioning up in the Delta, and I'm sure you're going to be seeing the same thing for the next month or a couple of, maybe just the next month, as these fish move further up the bay. And I asked him, you know, when these fish are moving like they are, how long do you give a spot before you move?
That's a great question. It doesn't take long. If you get in there and make, to me, one or two good, when I say one or two casts, I'm talking about good quality casts in an area. You know, if we get the baits, you know, the lures or whatever we're using, you know, and we're making good casts, one or two quick casts, you'll know pretty quick if you're going to be on them. It's not one of these kind of deals where you're just going to sit there and make cast after cast, you know, because like you were talking about what Wayne's saying, it's the exact same thing that's going on. These fish are so much on the move. They chew. I mean, they're ready to eat, but if you find them, you'll catch them. So the point being is when it don't take many good casts to find out if you're on fish or not. You'll find out real quick if you've hit on something. So to answer your question, this time of year, I'm not staying long versus, say, summertime fishing. You know, if I'm fishing a piece of structure and I know the fish are around that structure, I'll give that a little while longer. But this deal here, it's all about finding the fish.
Yeah, and they're not relating to structure. They're relating to bait.
Yeah, they're on the move with that bait. A lot of the fish were catching. They spit up some glass minnows the last couple of days, but I had we've had a few little bitty small, almost like the little bitty shrimp you get in a little can at the store, those little bitty tiny shrimp, and there's a lot of that stuff going on. That's what those fish are following around right now. You know, and again, and I've talked about it on a few of the other shows recently, is, man, these birds are giving them away too. Yeah, I'm back down south a little bit now, and it's the same thing as going up in the northern part of the bay, man. Just keep your eyes open for just a few gulls diving, because that's what they're diving on, are these little shrimp that are being run to the surface.
All right, Bobby. A-Team Fishing Adventures, folks, if y'all want to book a trip. Thanks a lot.
All right, JoJo. Have a good weekend.
All right, let's head on up to Pickwick Lake and the Bear Creek chain of lakes and talk with Brad Whitehead. Brad, tell me a little bit about Bear Creek.
Boy, I tell you, that is a hidden secret there. The Bear Creek chain of lakes are small impoundments. They're crystal, I'm not going to say crystal clear, but a lot of people consider them crystal clear lakes. Not a lot of farmland around them, so a lot of my clients from up north say that these fish taste better than any river fish there is. So I try to take them to them at least one time a year. You know, we try to get a trip going on these BCBA lakes and, get their freezer full.
What do you target?
Right now we are targeting brush piles. There's two techniques that we're using. They're really simple. Double minnow rigs, and basically what that is a rig. B&M makes it. It's got two hooks and a weight, and it just gives you a double chance to catch a fish. Mm-hmm. So when we're fishing with eight rods, we're fishing with 16 minnows. So that's one technique. The other technique, we're using a jig pole and actually putting a quarter-ounce weight with some type of, you know, I use the Charlie Brewer sliders or crappie magnets, and getting over brush piles and actually holding one pole in your hand so you can feel the lightest bite.
That's a novel idea, and it only holding one pole when you're crappie fishing.
It's days, you know, that people go, boy, I just didn't see the bite. I didn't see the bite. Well, holding it in your hand, you know, it's kind of what I consider an old school way, but it's really awesome. You're able to stay in the zone, and, you know, a lot of times we'll throw a buoy out when we start catching them off a particular side of that top. And that just keeps you in the zone. You can pull up there, catch a fish, let the wind pull you off, you pull right back. And it's more of a hands-on deal, you know, guys that maybe don't like to troll. It's a great way to do it.
Well, what about Pickwick Lake? How are things up there?
Let me tell you, we've got plenty of current. The bass are on a feeding frenzy. A lot of schooling bass right now, but, you know, averaging 25 to 35 bass a trip, you know, with live bait. But it's getting to where you better keep a topwater close, too, because a lot of the fish are schooling, and you're able to catch some 3 to 4 pounders, you know, on topwater, which is absolutely awesome.
Do you find that you like a larger or smaller topwater bait?
Well, it's really according to the wind. you know, a rule of thumb for us is if it's a slick, you know, if it's really, really slick, I go with a smaller one. If we've got some wind and maybe some chop, I go with a larger profile bait. It just seems to work very well with our style of fishing.
When you're throwing that top water, do you use a loop knot or a split ring?
Now, there's usually normally a split ring already in the nose of the bait.
Okay.
So I'll tie directly to it. I do not use a loop knot as far as any kind of top water. I'll tie it directly to the ring.
Now, on these bass fishing trips on Pickwick, y'all are mixing those 25 to 30 fish. That's a mix of spots and smallmouth?
It is, and largemouth. You know,
okay.
And when we're live bait fishing, you are subject to catch. Blue catch, channel catch, drum, anything in the Tennessee River will bite that minnow. And that makes it pretty awesome, especially for kids.
Well, Brad, I know this cooler weather's got everybody excited. If folks want to get out on Pickwick or the Bear Creek chain of lakes, how can they get in touch with you?
Give me a call at 256-483-0834, but you better hurry. There's only a few days left.
All right, Brad. Take it easy, buddy.
All right, thank you very much.
Our next contributor is Captain Mike Walker. Captain Mike, you fish on Smith Lake and Lake Martin. Tell us what's going on.
Well, let's start on Smith. Right now, the fish are in transition. They've been pinned down down in the lower end, and we've got the cooler water weather temps that are helping our water cool every night. Our service temp's down to 75, and our fish are spreading out and starting to load up in some of the creeks. Incredible top water action in the mornings and pretty good bite throughout the day.
And so the striped bass has been good. On Smith Lake, we've talked before on Lake, is it similar to Lake Martin in terms of bait and bait selection, or do you change it up there?
It is. We use a little bit bigger bait on the average at Smith Lake, all really depending on the time of year, but in the fall, we would use a bigger bait on Smith than we would at Martin, just because the average fish we're going to target would be bigger.
And you're talking live bait or artificials now, or both?
Yeah, live bait or artificials. I mean, if we're talking artificials, I don't throw a swim bait under 8 inches. There are a lot of big topwater baits that even are 9 inches. I really try to mimic the bigger bait of the lake.
Now, down here in the southern part of the state, what we see a lot of is that the fish are keyed up on bait and they're transitioning to different locations. And so the fish are not relating to structure, they're relating to bait. Do you see the same thing on the lake?
Oh, yeah. They're going to be going into the creeks, chasing bait. Bait's going to work its way to the back of the pockets. And whether the fish stay in the back of the pocket all day or they're just working in and out, you definitely want to key in on where the bait's at.
Now, down here on the saltwater side of things, we're always looking for birds. That's the main kind of indicator that fish have got bait pushed up. What do you guys look for?
Bait popping are on our graph. Smith Lake has next to no population of birds. We have very little bird action, so we don't have the benefit of going around and looking for birds. We'll have a season or two. It's a warmer winter, or we get a different migration where we get a group of birds, but it's not something that we can count on very often.
When you find bait, you find fish feeding, how do you approach that school of fish? Is being quiet important?
I mean, if they're up top, you definitely want to just fly up on them. My keys are, if I can see them up top and they're feeding, what size of bait are they busting out of the water? If it's 2-inch, 3-inch, 5-inch, 6-inch, whatever I'm going to throw, I know if I can match closer to what they're busting, we're going to have a lot better chance of catching more fish.
Gotcha. Well, what about Lake Martin? How's fishing been there?
It's good. Fish are in a little different pattern right now. A lot of them are still located in the south end of the lake. They are located off of main lake points and at the mouth of creek pocket, south of the main mouth of it. They're still relating pretty deep. They're 60 feet on the average, with some 40 to 45, and they're feeding somewhere around 30 to 40. So the bite's good.
How can folks get in touch with you up there if they want to get a trip booked?
They can check out our website at www.lakemartinstripers.com or give us a call at 205-362-8322.
All right. Thanks a lot. Good luck this week.